Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and the grace you have for us. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us and help us to listen to you, but also help us to also receive from you what. Open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, to receive from you what you wish to give us. Lord, help us to let go of things that impede us in our relationship with you and our relationship with others. Lord, take away our fears and put in them your love. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Today's focus is Jesus' loving authority. And it's an interesting thing for some people because not everyone responds well to the word authority. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more. But it's focused around these two verses from Mark chapter 1. Jesus and the disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Contemplate that, reflect that for a moment. Jesus has come on the scene. He's just called his disciples. This passage follows his calling of disciples. And he started his ministry. And he's gone into a synagogue. Now, that wasn't unusual. The synagogue, they would often have speakers, and he was considered a rabbi. So it was okay for him. But there was something different about Jesus the people noticed. There was something different about Jesus that impacted them. He taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. So what makes Jesus' teaching different? Why did it have such an impact this day? Why is he seen to have authority unlike the other teachers? Often when we talk about people of the law, we think they've got authority. But that's not how this is recorded in the Gospel of Mark. Just some background, so as we begin to unpack this, remember Jesus is beginning his ministry, he's setting the tone, and a lot of Mark is about revealing that Jesus is the Messiah. And if you're a person who's impatient, Mark's a good gospel for you to read. Mark's our gospel for this lectionary year. Mark is one of quickness, but a major focus of him is about revealing Jesus is the Messiah, and a lot of that is connected to this authority, this issue of authority. Now, these other teachers, depending on the translation you read, they're either scribes or teachers of the law, both the same. Right? There are people who rely on tradition, rely on the other rabbis, often quoting other rabbis. They rely on precedents. They don't like making decisions or interpretations that are fresh or of their own or have their own. They're usually repetitious. They draw on past teachings. And they are God-focused, but they're mostly law-focused. Teaching out of the Torah. So when we say law, the teachings from the first five books of what we know as the Old Testament. They have a different slant. There's something going on here, though. Jesus comes into the picture and he's not like them. I'm not there to see what happened, why that happened, but we're told. We're not told of what Jesus taught compared to the other scribes, but there's something about Jesus on this occasion. So what does it mean Jesus teaches with authority? What does it mean that Jesus teaches with authority? Well, our problem is often we associate authority with the law. Or we quote authority with quoting others. So it's usually think of rules, laws, right to, who can make a decision, power. It's usually, you know, sometimes people will say, on what authority do you say this? In other words, what's your backup for this? And that is like the teachers of the law. But the scribes, the teachers of the law, are not considered as teachers with authority. So what's going on here? What's happening here? Jesus has come into their presence as the Son of God and is beginning to reveal to them that he is the Messiah. It's quite interesting that there's another interaction with Jesus where he at one stage says, I'll tell you whose authority I come, so long as you can answer a question. And they don't answer the question. He says, I'm not going to tell you whose authority I come, because it was the Pharisees and the scribes trying to trick him on that occasion. So Jesus has this authority that is somewhat seen by the people that are present. And they're astonished and amazed, and they're receptive to what he has to say. So let's have a look at Jesus and authority. First of all, it's important to keep a few things in mind. First of all, as we open the scriptures, what we see is Jesus has authority over all things. Not just some things in our lives, but all things. You know, at the end of his ministry, so if we jump forward to the end of his ministry, as recorded in Matthew chapter 28, we hear these words. Then Jesus came to his disciples and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." In other words, in all our life, Jesus has authority, and that authority he passes on and says, look, use the authority to make disciples in all situations. And in John 3, we hear the Father loves the Son and has placed everything into his hands. In Colossians, when Paul's talking to the church in Colossae, he reiterates that Jesus has authority over all things on heaven and earth. And this is important for us to keep this in mind. Some people act and live as if, yes, Jesus has authority for my spiritual life, but not for my other parts of my life. And so a question for all of us to think about is, what does it mean that Jesus has authority over everything in our world? What does it mean that Jesus has authority over everything in our lives, in your life? And even more importantly and significant for today's reading, Jesus has authority over all things, even unclean spirits. And this is quite significant for the context of today's reading. We heard in verses 23 to 27, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority has given orders to impure spirits and they obey him." And why is this significant? Well, there was a big belief amongst the Jewish community, before you can come in the presence of God, before you can be in the presence of God, you must be cleansed. You must be clean. But Jesus changes that. Right? He changes that and allows himself to be in the presence of unclean spirits so he can clean people. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, he reminds people that, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And this causes a lot of controversy in his ministry, particularly amongst the scribes and the teachers of the law, because they, in their mind, only God can forgive sins, which is true. So therefore, either Jesus is an imposter or he's claiming to be God. And for them, that's unsettling. But here we have the whole reason summed up why Jesus came into this world is to deal with unclean spirits, unclean things. Jesus doesn't wait for you to be clean or unsinful before he has a relationship with you. Whatever is sinful and unclean in your life, Jesus can and will deal with it. Occasionally, people will say to me, who have got some distance from the church, "Oh, I better not come to church because the roof might fall in, or I need to get my life right before I come to church." Now, some of that's based on they're worried about being judged by others here, and I have to reassure them they're not going to be judged. But at the same time, some people in that thing have this understanding. They can't come into the presence of God unless they're perfect and clean. And that's not the Christian faith. That's not the Christian life. I've had people who would normally come to communion and have all of a sudden stopped coming to communion, and you go to speak to them and you hear their story, and there's something, some sin in their life they're troubled about. And yet at the same time, the gospel is Jesus came to die for sinners. So if there's something sinful in your life, if there is an unclean part of your life, if you're embarrassed about some sin, can I encourage you to place it before God in prayer for forgiveness and for help to deal with that? Because Jesus has the power to deal with it. Now, it's not always an instant thing. You might not always feel great about it. You know, my general way of knowing whether I've sinned, I ask the question, you know, the greatest commandment. Have I loved God and have I loved other people this week? And often I can pick out one or two things where I haven't. And I place that before God. Now, sometimes it's simply asking for forgiveness, but often it's also asking help to love God in certain situations. Asking God to help to love other people, particularly people who can be difficult. It's easy for me to justify why I can sin against difficult people. Jesus has the power and does use his power to bring that forgiveness, God's forgiveness to us. And this is the next thing that's important to understand: Jesus and authority. Unlike humans, often with humans when we get authority, we see it time and time again, people misuse their authority. Not always completely just for themselves, but at times they use it just for themselves. Now, and it's easy to highlight this happening in the eyes of others, isn't it? All of us can probably think of people who have misused some authority at some stage. But what we see throughout Jesus' ministry, he uses his authority to serve us, to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. In John chapter 10, verse 17 to 18, we hear, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." Jesus is given this authority to come into this world to be our God, and he uses that for our benefit, to give us life. And Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, and there's a famous hymn there in chapter 2, I encourage you to go and read the entire hymn, but part of that says, "Jesus, who being in very nature, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." Jesus' whole approach to life is to use whatever he has, he's for our benefit, to serve us. It's that servant nature. And we often sing around Easter the Servant King, a well-known hymn written by Graham Kendrick to remind us that his whole nature of life is around serving us. But Jesus doesn't hold on to his authority and keep it to himself. He's actually passed it on to the church. He's passed it on. When we say the church, we're not talking about the institution so much, but we're talking about the body of Christ, people like you and me who listen to him and follow him. We see this in Mark chapter 3, where he says he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. And then we see in Mark chapter 10, 42, 44, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." In fact, a lot of Jesus' ministry with his first group of Christians is about encouraging to see that, yes, you've got a relationship with the Son of Man, with God, through Jesus, but don't use that to have power over anyone else, but use it to serve others. And this is what we are called to do as a church, is to be God's servants, serving others in the world, to help others to have life through Jesus. And we should remember that Jesus has passed this authority onto us. You know, some people ask, can I tell someone their sins are forgiven? Because, you know, and traditionally within our church, and we had it in our liturgy today, where I announce God's forgiveness to you. You know, some people said, only the pastor can do that. Well, in fact, if you go to the scriptures, you can also do that as well to others. You can be with others, particularly if they're worried or stressed about a sin, and you can encourage them to know that their sins are forgiven through the actions of Jesus. The book of James points this out. So what are the implications for us as God's church when Jesus has authority and Jesus passes on this authority to us? First of all, remember always Jesus uses his authority to serve and to save us. And he does that by dying on the cross and rising. He does that by showing love rather than condemnation. His whole approach with you is to love you, to give you life, and to help you know that you have a future with God. Secondly, remember we are called to serve because Jesus serves us. And service is not just about actions of servants, but it's about having a servant attitude. Someone once said one of the biggest stumbling blocks for us is that sometimes we have an attitude which means, yes, we'll serve people, but we're going to do it so we get the respect, so we get the thanks, rather than we serve people in a way that helps them. Thirdly, we are called to help others receive life from Jesus. Remember, Jesus' whole purpose of coming to earth is so that we can have life. And our calling and serve, it's not just about being nice to people, but it's about helping them have life on this earth and in the future from Jesus. Fourthly, and this is another significant thing that comes out of today's reading, which you may have not picked up, but I kind of hinted at it at least, we are called to include all because Jesus includes. You know, the rabbis and the teachers of the law were often trying to exclude people, push people out of the group because of their faults, their sins, or they didn't fit in, or they weren't Jewish, or whatever. But if you look at Jesus' ministry, he was often about saying, yes, despite your sin, you're welcome. I'll deal with that. And one of the other implications, we are called to live a life of action that reflects the loving teachings of Jesus. The interesting thing with Jesus and his authority, he doesn't just speak about things, he doesn't just tell us what to do. Some parts of Christianity have emphasized the obedience of the Christian, which is just listening to God, over the gospel, the actions of Jesus. What's more important for us, always, is the actions of Jesus, what he does for us and the world, because that will always be sustainable. Our obedience often fails. Doesn't mean we don't be obedient, but emphasizing that can often be our downfall and can push people away. And lastly, and I think Paul, as he talks to the Corinthians, highlights something important for us, is that we use the authority we have lovingly. Lovingly and caringly. Remember those words? We know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up whilst love builds up. Knowledge puffs up while love builds up. There's a lot of teachings in the Christian church. There's a lot of information. Some of us know what's right and what's wrong, or at least we think we do. You know, and we can often, even in meetings, and it's probably meetings are probably one of the worst things in the church that happen, where people express their knowledge to put down others. Sometimes not even intentionally. Sometimes it's around small things. Sometimes it's about trying to get people to do things the way we would like them to do it. But we don't do it in love. And I've had to grow in this. And I remember as a young teenager, about four or five doors up from me, I had a friend. And he said, I'm never going to be much, basically. But he turned out to be an apprentice chef. He could cook far better than me. He turned out to be a chef. But as we interacted, he said to me one day, he said, some days I don't like hanging around you. And I was like, ooh, why? I haven't done anything wrong. He said, because you're always correcting me. And he said, the problem is you're right, but it doesn't feel good. And this has always stuck in my mind. You know, the knowledge I have, and I'm not the smartest person in the world, but the knowledge I have, am I going to use it to put people down or put people in their place? Or am I going to use it to love? And sometimes that means overlooking things. You know, I've been in situations where people have got a date wrong and I've gone, do I really need to say anything about that date? Does it really matter? Will it change everything? It's a challenge for us, and it's in keep encouraging people. Someone once said to me, most people he knows have not connected with the church just because of the knowledge of that church, but because of the love of that church. And that's not saying that information is not important. It's not saying that information is not helpful. But what's more important about is about us using what God has given us in a loving way and showing love to others. And I'm not talking about harsh love. Sometimes people kind of go, oh yeah, I'm loving, but I've got to show tough love. Many people don't take the tough love as love. So I conclude with this. Jesus uses his authority and knowledge with love to give us and others life. It's important for us to keep this in focus. The reason the church exists is to share the love of Jesus so others can have life. As members of his church, may his love have the ultimate say in who we are, what we do, and how we relate to others. May you know you are always loved by Jesus. May you know that Jesus has the authority to ensure that you receive his Father's love, because he died on the cross and rose for you. And as you live, may you share that love through your actions, your attitude, and your words. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the love you have for us and how you sent Jesus into this world for us, and that he listened to your authority and followed your authority and acted in a way that revealed your love and grace in this world. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are, for what you've done for us. Help us to be your church so your love is revealed to all we encounter, and so that they may have life through Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.